Skipping over a couple of chapters, I'll explain myself in just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 28. We sing a song in our church. That song is Showers of Blessings. Don't you feel blessed today? Amen. I look out and I see visitors and some folks I've met, some folks I have not. It's good to see you all here in God's house this morning. And I want to encourage you, please be praying. And please be inviting folks out to the evangelistic meetings, which begin 2 weeks from today. And I say evangelistic, I probably should say revival, because we really want God to speak to us. And if God will get our hearts right, we'll reach the world with the gospel. Amen? Amen. And I hope you'll appreciate Pastor Randy Starr as he comes 2 weeks from today. He'll be with us Sunday through Wednesday, and please be faithful to attend each service during that time period. Well, we're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 28. I'm going to look at verses about 3 through 20 this morning, but let me explain what we're doing here. We began the life of Samuel on the first Sunday of March back in 2017, so we've been at this for about 10 months. We've been going through 1 Samuel, and if you've noticed, the story of the life of Samuel ultimately became a study of the life of David, and then it became a study of the life of Saul, and the two go together kind of hand in hand. And I will look at the life of David some other time perhaps, but I kind of feel led of the Lord to finish up here in 1 Samuel, do what we said we would do, which is to conclude the life of Samuel. And so we're going to see something very interesting this morning, a very fascinating passage. Now, back in chapter 25, you don't need to turn there, but back in chapter 25, in the very first verse, Samuel dies. You say, well, Pastor, if you're preaching the life of Samuel and he dies in chapter 25, what are we doing in chapter 28? And there's something really fascinating here, and it's a fact is that Saul, who has long ago stopped paying attention to God, Saul gets in trouble, and don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but in much regard, God has stopped paying attention to Saul. And what I mean by that is, when Saul's in trouble and he goes to the Lord for help, all he hears is silence. And Saul thinks, I know a man. If I could just talk to him, I know a man that could help me, and his name is Samuel. And so Saul goes to a person that we nickname her, we call her the witch at Endor. She is, and the fancy word is she's a necromancer. She is someone that speaks to the dead. The Bible says she has a familiar spirit. And Saul goes to her, and he asks her to put him in touch with Samuel, and she does. It's interesting. We're going to see that story this morning of what happened and why it happened. It's the very last time Samuel appears in the Bible and speaks to anybody, and it's also the very last time that Saul meets with him. And then we'll cease our time in 1 Samuel. I'll begin a new series next week. But I would ask you on your own time to finish reading the book of Samuel. The next couple of chapters deal with David, and then the very last chapter is the end of Saul's life. And there's a lesson to be seen there. Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 3 through 12, and then we'll have a word of prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3, the Bible says, Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, The Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit, or hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, this morning, as we look into this very last meeting in the Bible between Saul and Samuel, we consider the life that Samuel led. We consider the life that Saul led. What a great difference there is between those two men. Samuel is at rest. He is at peace. And Saul is troubled and is about to face the judgment that he has so long deserved. Father, this morning I pray you'd help each of us to realize that there is a day of judgment. There is a consequence for sin. There's also a blessing for walking with you and for serving you. And Lord, we know that quite often Christians can become distracted and be a little bit more like Saul than they ought to be, where they disregard your will, disobey your commands, and think that it doesn't make a difference. But Lord, we know it does make a difference, and we're going to see that today. And Lord, I just ask you now to bless this time. Help us to do just what you'd have done this morning. And I pray for each one here that the message that we see in this passage would speak to their hearts, and the Holy Spirit would use it to change lives and to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for Jesus, who died to pay for our sins, who shed his blood so that we could have eternal life. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would understand that he is calling them. We're praying for them. And we desire that they would find Christ today before they leave this place and know what it means to have the assurance of eternal life, assurance of salvation. Pray you'd bless each thing we do now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Saul, who we have seen quite a bit of in the last few weeks, had lived a very ungodly life. I do with all my heart believe that Saul was saved. I think there is an indication of that in the Bible, that one day when you and I get to heaven, we're going to see Saul. And that even troubles me some more, because even though he knew God, he disobeyed God. It's interesting that even today, many Christians, they know God, but like Saul, they refuse to obey God's commands. And just like Saul, we deceive ourselves and we tell ourselves that it won't make any difference, that it doesn't have any consequences, that it's not going to hurt us or hurt anybody else. Now, I mentioned to you that you ought to read 1 Samuel chapter 31, and one of the first things you're going to see in 1 Samuel chapter 31 is that Israel, God's people, are defeated, and many of them fall in battle. when you and I think our sin doesn't affect other people, we should remember it does. It affects our family. It affects fellow church members. It affects our friends. It affects our loved ones. In fact, it affects the entire world, because when you disobey God and you don't live according to God's will, people don't hear the gospel and get saved. Saul has been disregarding God. He refused God's command to destroy Amalek back in 1 Samuel chapter 15. He put his own will ahead of God's will. He thought things through and he said, I've got a better idea than God has. And so instead of killing the king, instead of killing the best of the animals, he spared them. And then when Samuel confronted him, he said, well, the people did it. No, the people didn't do it. Saul did it. And folks, today, you and I are accountable for the things we do. We might want to blame somebody else, but we have a free will. Amen? And we can make those kind of choices. Saul made David his enemy. Of all the people to have as an enemy, why David? David, the young man that killed Goliath on behalf of Saul, the young man that fought battles on behalf of Saul and Israel, the young man that was victorious again and again and again against the Philistines. By the time you get to 1 Samuel chapter 28, Saul has pursued David. He's tried to kill him again and again. And David has become so desperate, I'll say, so concerned about this, that David has gone over to the enemy. He's actually aligned himself with the enemies of Israel. And if you read chapter 29 and chapter 30, you'll see how God spares him from having to fight against his own people. He actually was ready to fight, and God spared him from that. And then, of course, in chapter 31, we see the battle and the end of Saul. But Saul made David his enemy. He tried to murder him. And the reason for that was that he hated the fact that God had chosen David to be the king when Saul wanted to be the king, and he wanted his son Jonathan to be the king. And Saul somehow thought that he was going to get away with trying to change God's plan. It didn't happen that way. Saul ignored Samuel's declaration that God had chosen another king. Saul never did repent and turn back to God. Even in this chapter, when Saul hears the horrible news that he is about to die in battle, and his sons are about to die in battle, he still doesn't turn to God and do what's right. Aren't you glad God gives us space to repent? Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I've done some pretty bad things. You know, we're going to see tonight in the evening service, Moses, who had killed a man, was called by God to deliver God's people. David, as you know already, had done great things for God. He also killed an innocent man. There were consequences for it, but David remained the king of Israel. Folks, if you're here today and you've gotten away from God, I want you to know God will accept you back. God is, the Bible says, His mercy endures forever. But if you insist and you continue to push God away and disobey Him and disregard Him and ignore Him, there are consequences. And that's what we're going to see here in this passage. So Saul he's confronted by the Philistines in chapter 28. God doesn't answer him. And by the way, when you ignore God again and again, it shouldn't surprise you that God may be silent towards you. When you are out of God's will and intentionally disobedient, there is a barrier that comes between you and God. You need to take care of that. Saul saw such a barrier. He wasn't hearing from God. The one man that he could consult, the one man that could help him, Samuel, was dead. But Saul knew something, and it's a little surprising to us. And I can't take time to explain all this to you today. I just know that what the Bible says is true. Amen? You say, well, this must be some kind of a story, or this must not really be the way things are. No, this is just what happened. That there was this woman, and she was able to somehow consult with the dead, and And she was able to put Saul in contact with Samuel. I don't want to experience that. I don't know much about it, but what the Bible says here, let's just take it at face value today and realize that's what happened. The Bible, by the way, in Exodus 22:18 says, "Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live." She was a wicked woman. But Saul goes to her. Where else could he go? And he tries to get Samuel to talk to him, and he succeeds. And so he does have one last meeting with Samuel. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to us that when he meets with Samuel, Samuel tells him the truth one more time. Folks, the truth never changes. Holiness is what it is. Amen? Sin is what it is. You say, I don't want to obey God. Well, there's a good lesson here because Saul faced the consequences of that. You say, I want to come back to God. There's a good lesson as well. God will accept you back. I can show you a few things here and just some lessons that we can see from Saul's last meeting with Samuel. And they're not all that difficult to see. But let's begin by looking, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And I want to look at verse 8 and verse 12. In verse 8, the Bible says, "Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment." Now, you understand what he's doing. He's trying to conceal his identity because he doesn't want this woman to refuse to help him. And so he tries to hide who he is. And then in verse 12, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, "Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." The woman, even this woman, this wicked woman, knew the truth. And I just want to remind you of something. You may not think God is paying attention. You may not think that God sees what's happening in your life. But folks, God knows the truth. There's no hiding the truth from God. The littlest thought, the littlest action, the thing that you know displeases God, God sees it very plainly. I'm reminded of Peter when he was standing there in the garden when Jesus was being tried by the Pharisees, and Peter was out there, and the girl at the door said, "We know who you are. You're one of his disciples." And Peter denied it. Of course, it happened two more times. Peter denied it. And then when the rooster crowed at the beginning of the day, the Lord Jesus Christ looked over at Peter, and Peter, the Bible says, went out and wept bitterly. I don't think the Lord looked at Peter in a look of anger. I think it was a look of sadness. Folks, God loves us. Amen? Amen. I told you last Sunday night a little story of some things that happened when I was preaching the funeral in Texas, and God did some things that reminded me. Folks, God's right there. He's involved. He's ready to help. He knows our needs. It's not true that God is. I understand that God is a God that judges and God is a God that's righteous, but God's right there, ready to help. And I think the look on Jesus' face was a look of sadness. There's no way to fool God. God knows what's going on, and God's ready to help with these things. Even this ungodly woman knew that. There's another thing that you can see, and it just jumps right out at you in verse 13. The king said unto her in verse 13, "Be not afraid, for what sawest thou?" And the woman said unto Saul, "I saw gods ascending out of the earth." Just got to point out, that's a lowercase g, and it's a word that's often used to describe the spirits of men that have died. And he said unto her, "What form is he of?" In verse 14, and she said, "An old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Now again, folks, this is what happened. You say, "I don't understand all this, Pastor. I thought that when you died, you went to be with the Lord." And that is a true statement today, we do, but things were a little bit different before the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And again, I just can't take the time to explain it all, but there was a place that the saints went, and they were waiting until that day when the Lord rose. And the Bible says when he rose, he led captivity captive and gave good gifts to men. And now, folks, the Bible promises you and I to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. In the Old Testament, it was a little bit different. And there was this place, this holding tank, if you will, or this just place of reserve to where the saints were waiting for that day when Christ paid for the sins of the world. And Samuel was there. And he uses an interesting word here. He says, "Why hast thou disquieted me?" He was not there in torment. He was there in peace. If you have a loved one that knows the Lord Jesus Christ and they step into eternity, they are at peace. Amen? And I know, for example, recently we've heard of some folks that have passed away. And if your loved one knew the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Samuel knew salvation, and he, again, just for the sake of time, I can't explain it, but he knew Christ in a way. And Samuel was at peace until Saul disturbed him. Folks, there is life after death, is there not? Here it is right here. And when you step into eternity, you're going to step into one of two places today. Either the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ or a lake of fire, the Bible says, that burns forever and ever. We don't hear a whole lot of preaching about hell. We should look at Luke 16 a little more often, I suppose. But folks, hell's a real place. And it's a horrible place. In fact, in Luke, when the rich man died, over and over, he said it was a place of torment. He said it was a place to where even a drop of water would be a precious thing. Hell is a real place. It's a real place that you and I would have gone if Jesus hadn't died to pay for our sins. It's a place, hell's a place where people still go if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the most important thing you need to know if you're here and have never received Christ, is you can receive Christ today and be spared the fires of hell because Jesus died to pay for your sins. There is an afterlife, and Samuel and Saul are both seeing that here quite plainly along with this woman in verse 13. I would like to read you a couple of verses out of the New Testament just by way of clarity. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now, he's talking to folks that are saved. He says, "We." The Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 5:16, he said, "I'm going to appear before Christ one day to give an account of myself." But he says, we must all do that. You see, just like Saul, who thought he could get away with his ungodliness, just like he faced a day of reckoning, you and I will as well. The good news is, we are not judged to determine whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell. We're judged for rewards. And the Bible says that even if you give a cup of cold water to someone in Jesus' name, you won't lose that reward. There is a judgment, however, that we're going to face. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says it this way, "Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss." There is a life after death, and there is a judgment in that life, even for those of us who are saved. And I'm glad for that, for one thing, because those things that when you take a step towards God and you say, "I want to be right with God and I want to serve God," God takes note. Amen? And that's something that's going to be recognized one of these days. It'd be a shame if we had to stand before the Lord and didn't have anything like that to show in our life. There's a third thing you're going to see in verse 15. It kind of goes along with what I just said. Samuel said to Saul in verse 15, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" Now look at this. "And Saul answered, I am sore distressed." Now think about that just for a minute. He goes on and he says, "God is departed from me." Why is Saul distressed? He's the king. He has power. He has wealth. He has lived his life the way he wanted to. He has taken what he wanted and treated people the way he wanted. And he's taken all sorts of steps to try to make himself happy. And now he says, I'm sore distressed. Folks, when you do not live for God, it will not bring happiness, it will bring sorrow. When you do not live for God, there is a distress that goes along with that. And then he says, and I pointed this out already, God has departed from me. I just want to remind you, there are consequences in this life for how we live. In this life for how we live, not just in the next. In this life, it matters what we do. We have a good cross-section of ages in our church. We have some younger folks, we have some older folks, and as I'm getting to be one of the older folks, I spend more time talking to the older folks, and you know, I just turned 60 last December, and moving up into that last few decades of life, and when you start to get a little older, you look back on your life, and you can see some things that are now giving you rewards. And you also sadly see some things you wish you'd have done differently. So those of you here today that are younger, we have some teenagers here today. We have folks here in their 20s. I have great news for you. You can live a life for God. I have great news for you. You can obey God's will. And you say, well, Pastor, I don't think that would make me happy. Oh, just to the contrary. That's the only thing that will make a Christian happy is living for God. After the service today, find some of these older folks and ask them what parts of their life they're pleased with, what parts of their life contain things that they're glad they did. And they'll tell you, the times I served God, the times that I did what God wanted me to do, the times that I told people about the Lord Jesus Christ, the souls I've won for Christ, the Christians I've encouraged, the missionaries I've sent out, the things that I have done for the Lord, those are the things that bring us happiness. Saul didn't have any of that. Saul says, I am sore distressed because as he came to the end of his life, when he looked back, all he saw was ungodliness. Pursuing David, trying to kill him. Trying to cling to the things that God said he couldn't have. And it didn't bring him happiness, it brought him just the opposite. There are consequences in this life for how we live. Two more things and I'm done. We're going to be in plenty of time here. Look at verse 16. So in verse 16, Samuel has a reply. In fact, let me read the rest of verse 15 so we can see what's happening here. He says, Saul says, the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. And we see that for a second time here. Just want to remind you, it would be a good thing for you and I to be that person that someone could go to in a time of need like this. It'd be a good thing that someone would know you as a person that would tell them the truth, that would understand what God's will is, and that would be willing to help them with that. That's the kind of people we ought to be, amen? That's the kind of person Samuel was. And when Saul goes to him, Saul knows, here's a man that's not going to mislead me. Here's a man that will tell me what's right. Here's a man that knows the truth. And you and I as born-again Christians ought to be those kind of people. But folks, there's no help for someone that ignores God except getting right with God. And in Saul's case, it's too late for that. Let me read verse 16 through 18, if I could. The Bible says, then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? In other words, Samuel says, if God can't help you, I can't help you. If God is not on your side, it doesn't do any good for me to be on your side. He says in verse 17, the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. That's not the first time Samuel has heard those words or said those words to Saul. He told Saul that way back when he refused to kill the Amalekites. Folks, the truth is what it is. And I'm glad in my life, for example, that God gave me more than one chance to get right with him. Getting right with God's always the same. The question is, you see, God never changes. The question is, will we change? Will we be faithful? Will we be a part of a local church? Will we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we going to do? Now, I have some more good news for you. You say, Pastor, I'm weak. I try, but I just can't do it. I understand that. And so does the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, the good news is, he'll change you if you'll let him. Amen? He can do things in your life that you can't do. He can take away desires that you can't get rid of. He can give you desires for him that you wouldn't otherwise have. Saul, I'm sorry to say, is too late for him. He has refused God too many times. But I suspect if you're here today, the reason is God's still willing to work with you. Amen? In fact, I'm just about sure I can say that without any question whatsoever. There's no help unless God helps. In verse 18, Samuel tells Saul, he says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Now that's bad enough that he's lost the kingdom. But then there's one final thing I want to show you, and that is, there comes a day when it's too late to repent. He says in verse 19, moreover, sure hate to see it get this way, but he says, moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Now that's why I can say to you, I think Saul was we use the word saved. Thou shalt be with me, and Samuel's in that place waiting for the Lord's payment for those sins. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. You could paraphrase verse 19 and just say, Saul, it's too late. God gave you chance after chance after chance after chance. Folks, if you're here today, don't toy with God's goodness. Don't push God back one more time. Say, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I can tell you right now what to do. Fall on your knees before God and say the same thing that we're going to hear Moses say tonight. Lord, here am I. And the idea is, Lord, what do you want? Now, I can't give you the laundry list right now. The Bible contains it, but I can tell you this. God wants you to be a faithful servant of his. He wants you to have fellowship with him. He wants you to be part of a good church. He wants you to serve him with your life instead of serving yourself. And then I can echo the sentiments of many of the folks here that have been serving God for many, many years. When you serve God with your life, it's a good life. It's a really good life. That doesn't mean it's going to all be easygoing. There's going to be tribulation. There's going to be burdens to bear. There are going to be some times of suffering and some times of persecution. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But I can tell you this, when you live for the Lord Jesus Christ and you endure those things, it's a good life. And when you come to that place where Saul is right here, where you're waiting just about to step into eternity, you can look back and you can say, I'm glad I serve God. Rather than saying, oh no, what have I done? And look at the end of the story and we'll be finished. Look at verse 20. He's heard Samuel's message. He knows it's the truth. The Bible says, then Saul fell straightway all along on the earth. I think what you can see there is he just falls down, lays down on the ground, and was sore afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all the day, nor all the night. And we're not going to read the rest of the chapter, but I'll tell you what the rest of the chapter is Saul's last meal or thereabouts. There's nothing left to do but eat. The declaration has been made. And again, look at how Samuel says it there in verse 19. He says, the Lord hath delivered to Israel. He says, tomorrow, is what he says, tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. That's the declaration of the Lord. He's not going to back off of that. If you and I had to stand before God this afternoon, if our life was to come to a close right now, what things would you wish you would have done differently before it was too late? What would you wish you had changed? You might say, well, Pastor, I wish I'd have been more faithful to God. I wish I'd have spent more time in my Bible. I wished I'd prayed more. I wished I had told my family about Jesus. I'd suggest those are things you need to do. Amen? The Lord could come back this afternoon, but he could delay. He could give us some time. Saul's time's up. Ours is not. All that was left for Saul was for him to eat his last meal. Tomorrow, he and his sons are going to die in battle, along with many Israelites who are suffering because of Saul's disobedience. It didn't have to end this way. Folks, your life doesn't have to end the way Saul's life ended. We have a choice, amen? I can choose to serve God. I can choose to do what's right. I can choose to repent of my sin and to do what God wants me to do, and he'll help me do it. It didn't have to end that way. Saul had a choice. He had a chance. He had been warned, and he had been warned repeatedly. He could have done what's right. You can even see him going back and forth. He tries to kill David, and he feels bad about it. Then he tries to kill David, and then before long, he doesn't feel bad about it. But he had a choice. He had a chance. He could have changed. Folks, God gives you and I a chance. Amen? He's a good God. He gives us a chance to repent. But Saul caused a catastrophe. Because of him, a disaster. Because of him, his sons and his nation suffered. And he died needlessly in defeat in battle because he had ignored God all of his life. You have the same choices. I have the same choices that Saul had. We can decide to be faithful. We can decide to be righteous. God will help us do that. But just like Saul, a day is coming when we're going to stand before him. Amen? You know what I want to hear when I stand before him one day? I'd like to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like that? Amen? Enter into the joy of the Lord. It's available, folks. Why live a life away from God, seeking the impossible, trying to make yourself happy, trying to give yourself what you want, trying to find happiness outside of Christ? Why waste a life like that when you can have a life like Samuel had and step into eternity and be welcomed, forgiven, rewarded for all eternity? Amen? Now, it's good to be saved. We're all going to be, if you're saved, you're going to be in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. And folks, heaven is all it's cracked up to be. It's great. But I don't want to step into eternity, have a life to show that was pleasing to God. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.